Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming today. I wish I could be here myself, but I can't. So my name is Steve Nelson. I'm the pastor here at the Rio Church. And normally each week I go back and forth between the two churches. And so I'll share on one side one week and then share the same message on the other side of the mountain on the following week. And then I go back and forth. And then we have some different godly men in the church who share, and they do the same thing. And they'll give a message on one side one week and then the other side the other week. And so that's been our rotation. It's been really, I think, helpful just to hear from different men and their personalities and their own stories and how they've lived out their faith. And so I think it's been a really good thing. We've been going through a series through the book of Philippians. And in this book, it's one of my favorite passages. It's Philippians 4:8, and it has to do with correct thinking. And this topic of correct thinking has been really important to me. So when I first laid out the schedule, I was really bummed that it actually fell to one of the other speakers instead of to myself. And then it worked out that they weren't able to give the message. And so rather than pass it on to someone else, I really wanted to share with you guys, but I couldn't be in two places at once. And so that's why we're doing this video. Normally, we don't do this. I've never done this before. I don't know if we'll ever do it again, but I thought it would be really helpful. I actually don't like doing videos at church very much. I don't like connecting them to PowerPoint stuff. It always seems like something goes wrong. And so hopefully we'll be able to keep our video and audio together, and it won't be like watching a bad Bruce Lee movie or something like that. So let's pray and ask God to bless this time here. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would teach us this morning. God, I thank you that you have helped me in some areas in my life and having just really considerable amount of victory related to my thinking. God, I think we all struggle with different things. There are sins that we struggle with and temptations. And I think, man, if we could just control our thinking related to those areas, how it would help our lives, how much more we'd be able to live like Jesus. And then there are things that we want to do, like we want to spend time reading the Word and things like that, that we don't always get around to. And again, there are things related to our thinking that keep us from being the people that you want us to be and that we want to be. And so it's really exciting to think that perhaps through your scripture we would be able to think differently. And God, we plead with you, God, that you would help us to grow in this, because it affects everything. It affects loving people. Love is a form of thinking. Hatred is a form of thinking. Faith and trust and hope are all related to our thinking. Our passion, our zeal for you is all related to our thinking. And so this is just a really big deal. I pray that you would help us to grow in this in a mighty way. And the things that we look at today would truly impact us, make a difference in our lives. So we just ask that your spirit would move in our hearts today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I mentioned we're in this series in Philippians, and this is our passage for today, just one verse. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about such things." And so this whole section here is related to having correct thinking. And we're going to come back to this passage a little bit later on. But another verse that I think helps us to understand this is in Ephesians 4. And in this passage, it helps us understand how we can grow and change. And so if you think about changing, a lot of times what we might think is, oh, I need to stop doing this behavior. I need to start doing this behavior. But really, that's only a part of the process. You have to think about stopping the behavior, but then you have to change the thinking that created the behavior in the first place, and then you have to replace that with something new. And that's all captured in this verse. So Ephesians 4:22 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So when we look at this verse, we can see that it talks about stopping a behavior, right? It's putting off your old self. Stop making bad choices. And that's what we think about when we want to change. But then it also talks about changing our thinking. It says to be made new in the attitude of our minds. So that's a separate thing. If we don't change our thinking, then we're going to fall back into the same behavior. And then it talks about living correctly. It says, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we're stopping a behavior, we're changing our thinking, and then we're living something new. And so we're going to focus on that second point there, on changing our thinking. And if we don't change our thinking, we fall back into old patterns. So let's think about dieting. So I've been in a diet contest. And if you're watching this video at the airport location, then by the time you see this video, I'll have lost about probably 25 to 28 pounds in just 5 weeks. And so that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a lot of weight. And I'm not talking water weight. I mean, I have been exercising like crazy, and I have not been eating very much. And so I'm truly dropping. That's exciting. If you're watching this on the west side, then my diet competition's over, and I'm going to be on my 25th year wedding anniversary, and we're going to be in California. And so I'm going to be sitting in a church in California somewhere as you're watching this, or possibly I might be on the beach. We'll see how it goes. But the contest will be over, and I'll be gaining that weight back already. And so the problem is it's not just that you have to learn how to lose the weight, but there's this process of keeping it off, too. There's thinking that's going on inside your head. Because I know a year ago, I did this exact same competition with someone else. And I did it for 6 weeks, and I lost a bunch of weight. And then I won my $50, and then right after that, I just started gaining it all back again because I still had all the same thought processes going on. So I really appreciate John Hauser. John Hauser leads worship in a small group in our Westside Church. And John lost a bunch of weight a few years ago. And just even when he was going through the process, you know, I'd ask him, so, you know, when's your diet over and things like that? And to him, I don't remember how he worded it, but basically it was, well, it's not a diet. It's like a change of lifestyle, to a change of thinking. And he wasn't doing something for a few weeks. He was really trying to change how he thought about food and how he thought about himself. And I'm not sure what else, but whatever he did, it worked for him. And so you see there, he didn't just change what he was doing, but he changed his thinking. And so in the same way, it's like, well, if I don't change my thinking, I'm going to fall back into the same pattern just like I did a year ago. And I'm just going to gain back all that weight. So it's like, boy, if I could do the same thing with sin in my life, not just stop a sin, but if I could actually stop the behavior that leads to the sin, or the thinking that leads to the behavior that leads to the sin, then I'd really be able to make progress. So, you know, you might have a desire to stop looking at pornography or something. Well, and you could just make a decision and you can stop. But what goes on in your thinking that leads you down that path in the first place? You know, maybe there's loneliness. Maybe there's unfulfilled desires. Maybe you feel like you don't have something to live for. Maybe you just want to, you feel like you deserve a break or something. Maybe you struggle with sexual immorality. Okay, well, you can just stop that sexual immorality. You can just make a choice. But what led to it? Is there an emptiness? Is there a feeling unloved? Is there not being willing to trust God with your future? Is there, I can't believe that God's way is really the best for me. You see, there's thinking that leads to our actions. And so it's not just the actions that need to change, but the thinking needs to change as well. In Matthew 23, 25, Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean as well." You know, if we take this cup that's on the screen there, you wouldn't want to drink from that, right? You wouldn't want to just clean the outside. You wouldn't even just want to clean the inside. You'd want to clean the whole thing because it's nasty looking. And that's what Jesus is saying here is the Pharisees, they're changing all their outward actions, but on the inside, they're still really a broken mess. And for us, when we think about changing, do we just think, oh, I'm going to stop doing this sin? Or do we think, I need to change my thinking so that I can stop doing this sin? 2 Peter 2:22 says, "Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit. A sow that's washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud." You know, it's like taking a pig and taking it out of its mud and washing it off and then saying, okay, go be a pig again. And he goes right back into the mud. It didn't do any good. I think we do that a lot in our lives. We have behaviors that we don't like, and we use self-control for a short time and say, well, I'm going to change that behavior. But we have to change in the inside, or that just comes back. You know, the pig has to not be a pig anymore, right? The pig has to change into something else, or change the way it sees itself. Something has to change significantly, or it just goes back into the same old ways. So the same thing happens with us. So we're going to look at this question. How can we change our thinking? How do we change our thinking? Is that even possible? And so that's what we need to understand. First off, is we need to realize that we can change our thinking. Romans 13:14, we're going to look at this toward the end of the message. But he says, rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You know, this is saying you can make a choice in your thinking. You cannot think about gratifying the desires of the sinful nature. You can cut off those thoughts. Sometimes I think we're victims of our thinking, that we don't have any control, but we do have control. I remember there was a time, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago or so, we were at home, and Kathleen received a call from her father. And they had been kind of estranged. He had had an affair with Kathleen's mom's best friend and ran off with her and left his wife and married this other lady. And so, of course, that had caused some problems in the relationship. And so all the kids had a hard time just knowing, okay, what's the correct way to deal with dad? So he called one time, and this was an unusual thing. They talked maybe once a year, twice a year. And they had this conversation, and somehow it got to a point that he was getting angry with her. And toward the end of the conversation, he started calling her names, and he was saying things like, you know, you're stupid. You're stupid. You've always been stupid. And somehow I was sitting in the room, and I caught on that something was happening, and I'm like, what's going on? And I went over and was kind of listening in as he's saying this, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, hang up. Hang up. Hang up now. And she wasn't hanging up because, you know, it's her dad. She hasn't talked to him forever, and she's hoping that he's going to repent or change. And I'm just, hang up. I didn't even care if he heard me anymore. It's like, you have to cut this guy off, because you just can't have voices in your head just telling you lies like that. It's just doing damage. So just cut him off. I received a phone call a few weeks ago from a guy who was a Jehovah's Witness, and we had a semi-cordial conversation for a while, but he was very aggressive and combative, and he was arguing with me, and a couple of times he got into a role where he's just, you know, lies, 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 and he's just shoving them down my throat. And I'm like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, shut up now. And normally I wouldn't speak that way to someone, but it's like, you know, he's just inundating me with lies. It's like, stop, this must stop. So if you can imagine something like that happening to you, or somebody speaking that way to one of your kids or to somebody you love, you would cut them off, right? You wouldn't let them just sit there and keep verbally abusing you. And so you know what? We need to do the same thing with ourselves. We need to realize that we can stop ourselves. Just like when you're talking too much, you can cut yourself off, right? You can do that. And most of you can. Some of you, I'm not sure, but some of you are talkers, and that's a wrestle. But we can all do that, right? What are our thoughts? Our thoughts are like a voice inside our heads that we can control, and we can say, okay, stop. That's enough. I will not keep thinking this way. And so that's something we have to be willing to do. We need to realize we can cut ourselves off, and that we must cut ourselves off. So let me share with you my story. So many, many years ago, probably close to 30, I didn't take time to think about the math, but roughly 30 years ago, I went through a divorce. And it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And there should be some handouts on the back table that just have some different testimonies from people in the church and how God's worked in their life. So part of my story's in there. If you have questions about me or you know, my family now and how I made these decisions to get remarried and things like that, I would be more than glad to talk to you about those things. I would have those questions myself. So that little booklet might help, or you can sure talk to me. But let me tell you just a little bit about that story. So I was probably about 20 years old and had been married for a couple of years. I knew marriage wasn't perfect and that we had our challenges, but I thought we were doing okay. You know, we were working through stuff. And one day my wife said to me, she said, Steve, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I knew that that wasn't a good thing. I knew that was pretty serious. And from that point, just things really digressed rapidly. And just the marriage fell apart. I tried to get counseling. I tried to get her to go to counseling. I tried to force her into counseling. Just tried a lot of different things to get things to go better. And there wasn't any progress that was being made there. She was very friendly with a guy at work. And I kind of wondered, you know, maybe something's up there. But I didn't really know for sure. And eventually, the divorce was final. And shortly after that, then she married this guy from her work. And so, you know, that made me wonder, well, what all was going on there? And so I went through those stages of grief. I didn't think I was going to. I thought, oh, I'm really handling this well, and I'm mature, and I can do this. But it got pretty tough. It was pretty ugly. And so one of the stages was I got angry. And I really dealt a lot with hate. I mean, I really hated her. I thought about taking revenge. And she had hurt me a lot. I was just completely brokenhearted. And I felt like it was, you know, I realized both people in a marriage are responsible for problems in the marriage, but I really felt like the hurt was pretty one-sided. And so I wanted to take revenge, and I wanted to kill her, just to be honest with you. I wanted to kill her, and that really wasn't enough because that didn't make up for the hurt. I wanted to torture her. I wanted to do something that was really mean. And I would hear stories of, you know, things like that on the news. And I would hear some horrible thing that somebody did. And I would think how I could kind of one-up it. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's a good idea, but I could make it better. And so I thought about killing her. And I thought about killing him. And I thought about killing him in front of her and her in front of him. And I was going down this thought process probably for a couple of years. A couple of years, I'm thinking about this daily, thinking about how I could take revenge and how I could kill her. And it was really consuming, and this whole time I'm still going to church, I'm trying to seek God, I'm trying to follow him, and I'm involved in a small group, but I'm like dying inside, I'm dying. And I'm reading scripture, and it just is not alive anymore. It's like words on a page, and I finally woke up, and it's like, I don't want to be here, I'm dying. And so I talked to some people about what was going on. I talked to, you know, my small group leader, to my pastor, and my wife, and I shared things that I was wrestling with, and that was part of it. But you know, the really big thing was I made a decision to stop thinking about her. I made a decision to control my thinking. You know, every time I thought about I could kill her, I had to stop. Every time I thought about her, I had to stop. Every time I thought about him, I had to stop. And I couldn't go there. You know, now I could probably think about her, or I could be tempted in that, and I could probably think about that some without being pulled down that path. But early on, it's like I just couldn't let my thinking go there at all. So I just want to share with you, that changed my life. You know, once I got control of my thought life in that area, then I was able to just enjoy God again and enjoy fellowship with others and not have that guilt hanging over my head all the time. And so it changed my life so radically. And so I hope that there's something in your life that you can grab control of your thoughts that will change your life radically as well. So I think we can sometimes think, my thoughts are something I can't control. And it's partly true, right? There are some thoughts we have that we can't control, and then there's some that we can. So it's a little bit like a married guy meeting a girl. And he sees this girl, and she's a pretty girl, and he looks at her, and he thinks, oh, you know, what a pretty girl. She's so attractive. And then he says, hey, we should go out to eat. You know, let's go to a French cafe or something. And they go, and, you know, it's all innocent. We're going to just sit and have coffee. And they have coffee, and they tell stories, and they tell their history, and they talk about past relationships, and they talk about their personal lives, and they talk about, you know, their dreams and hopes for the future and things like that. And then she invites him to walk her home, and so he walks her home, and she invites him in for coffee, and he goes in for coffee, and he has a sore neck, and so she gives him a back massage, and then they hug a little, and they kiss a little, and one thing leads to another, and then he's had an affair. Okay, so some of those thoughts can be controlled, and some can't. So up front, there's this temptation, right? He sees this girl, and he thinks, she's a pretty girl. Okay, that's the type of thought you can't control. It's just there, it just happens, it's just instantaneous, and God's designed us, so we recognize beauty, and we say, oh, what a beautiful lady. Okay, but then there are these other thoughts that happen after that he didn't have to continue with. He didn't have to have this conversation. He didn't have to go to the French cafe. You know, they didn't have to go back to her house. He didn't have to let her give him a back massage. You know, so there's these thoughts that he's having that lead to all these different actions, and he does have control over those. He doesn't cut them off. And we've got to be willing to cut off those thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I want you to think about that phrase. We take captive every thought. What's it look like to take someone captive? Well, usually when you take someone captive, it's someone who has some influence on you. Someone, you know, you're afraid that they're a bad guy, and because of what they're doing, you're living in fear, and you want to control the situation. In some way, they're controlling you. They're putting you in danger. And so you hunt them down, and then you capture them, and you put them in handcuffs, or you tie them up, or you throw them in prison or something. But basically, you're saying, you know what? You're not going to control me anymore. I'm not going to be afraid of you. I'm going to control you. I'm going to put you in prison. I'm going to be the master, and you're going to be the slave. That's what we have to do with our thoughts. We have to take our thoughts captive and say, you know what? I'm not going to be controlled by these wrong thoughts anymore. I'm going to take these thoughts and take control of them and take them captive. That's what we need to do through the help of Jesus Christ and through his power. 1 Peter 4:1 is, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. He who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." It's a really interesting passage. I actually memorized this one time because, what do you mean? He who suffered in body is done with sin. How can that be? And so it's like, well, I'd like to be done with sin. I want to think about this. And so I memorized it, and for years it didn't really make any sense to me. And then over time it started to make sense. It's like, okay, well, when we suffer and we learn to suffer, then what happens is we don't care about ourselves as much. We don't care about kind of our flesh and our life and what we're going through, because that's just part of our suffering. We embrace the suffering almost. And then we're able to live for God instead of living for ourselves. And that's probably a sermon in and of itself. But for this passage, it's interesting how it says, arm yourselves with this attitude. Attitude's just a way of thinking, right? Attitudes are thoughts. And so it says, arm yourselves. It's an interesting expression, right? You know, take up an M16. Arm yourself with this attitude, and then you can be done with sin. If you can take on this attitude, arm yourself with this. And I just love that challenge there to change our attitude and change our thinking. Like, man, if I can do that, which I can, then I can have some major victory in the areas of my life that I'm struggling in. So we need to quit feeding on garbage as well. You know, dieting is something that's kind of interesting to me, just how things change over the years. I remember back in the probably 90s, you know, everything was fat-free was the big deal. And then maybe at the turn of the century, everything was about, you know, Atkins diet and just fat and no carbs and stuff like that. And everything changes, and there's all this stuff with lactose and with gluten. And you know, now there's stuff like coffee enemas. It's like, I don't even want to know what that is, you know. And these purges and cleansings and all this stuff. And it's hard to know what's legit and what's not. But one thing I think we can be sure of is what we eat affects us, right? It affects our health. If you only eat sugar all the time, that affects your health, right? You're happy all the time, right? Or you have too much caffeine, or you have whatever, too much bran, or what? Just all that stuff. We know that affects our health if we don't eat in a healthy way. Well, in the same way with our thinking, we can't just gorge on whatever we want and think that that's not going to affect our thinking. What we consume in our thinking also affects the way that we live. Now, I'm not one of those people who, you know, hears about some kid that was listening to this, you know, heavy metal group and, oh, this song that talked about killing cops, and then he goes off and kills a cop. And, you know, I don't look at that and say, you know, oh, that's that singer's problem or that song's problem or this thing made him do that. So I don't think we should take it that far. But I also don't think that we can watch as much sex as we want and as much violence as we want and as much garbage as we want, and that's not going to affect our thinking. That's going to have an impact on us. That's going to affect our lives. Imagine if Imagine if my neighbors invited me over. And suppose they invited me over and they said, hey, Steve, we want to come and, you know, just talk and stuff. And so I go over to their house and we sit and talk and we have this really good conversation. And they tell me about, you know, their ancestors and stuff. And it's really meaningful and valuable and this really good time. And it starts getting later and they're like, hey, why don't you stick around? And we're going to go in the other room and be intimate. And you can watch if you want. You know, what would you think if I did that? Well, you'd be like, what? You can't do that. That's wrong. That's sinful. That's terrible. Okay, but what if the same thing happened and they invited me to watch and instead of watching, I just kind of stood at the door and like turned the other way? That'd be okay then, right? Okay, probably not. So what if they took a video of the whole evening? I didn't even go over it at all, but I just watched the video and then on that part, I could just fast forward. Okay, you see where I'm going, right? These are the temptations we face. We watch stuff like that all the time, and we think, oh, it doesn't really affect me. I'm not going to look at that part. There's a lot of good stuff that's happening. I'm picking up the good messages, but I'm not being affected by the bad. It's like, I think that's just foolishness. I think we get pulled into a lot of garbage that impacts us greatly and has an effect on our thinking. James 1:13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. You know what? I don't like death. And I don't like sin. But I do like being enticed. And I think that's why we gorge on junk food in our entertainment. You know, it's the books and the movies and the videos and the video games and the magazines and all the stuff. We enjoy being enticed by the world. And then we're like, yeah, but I'm not gonna fall into sin. I'm just gonna go to the French cafe. We're just gonna kind of entice each other for a little bit. And I think, wow, that's super, super dangerous. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. And this starts off talking about preparing our minds for action. Getting our thinking corrected and in the right place so that we can set our hope on Jesus Christ, that our thinking is about Jesus and our eternal life and the things that really count in life instead of in this world. But then he challenges us. He says, as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. I think when it comes to entertainment, we gorge on junk food and we think, oh, there's grace. It's okay. Grace covers all that. But the grace of God is not just a grace to cover our sin. The grace of God is a grace to live differently and to live holy lives. And this is what God calls us to in this passage. So we need to realize we can change. We need to quit feeding on garbage and being exposed to all that the world has to offer. You know, if we watch 1,000 murders on movies and TV, we've got to believe that's going to affect our thinking. It affects our view of the value of life. It affects our anger, our temper. It affects our thinking in some ways. If we watch all this immorality on TV, it affects our view of marriage. It affects our view of what's right and wrong when it comes to sex. It affects the way that we view the opposite sex. It truly affects our thinking. We can't just gorge ourselves on garbage and think that it's not going to have any impact. So lastly, we need to think well. This passage that we're looking at today in Philippians. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It'd be interesting to talk to Paul and find out, you know, what were you thinking when you wrote this? What's that look like to think on these things? It's almost like him saying, hey, just listen to Caleb. You know, it's positive and it's encouraging and your whole day will go better. That's interesting to think about. A couple of weeks ago, our family got together, and it was Sunday night, and we were just hanging out, and the Webbers were over, and we had a little campfire on the driveway, and it was just all spontaneous, and kids brought out guitars, and they started singing songs. Some were Christian, some were secular, and we were just having fun, and we were singing together sometimes and worshiping and teasing each other and just having a good time. It's like, it just was beautiful, and it was just wholesome. It's like that's the way life should be, you know, where we're just enjoying life together and enjoying God together. And I think that's the type of thing. It's like our thinking needs to be more down that path than this path that we tend to kind of live in the world. Our fiesta meetings at church, we get together and we worship the Lord. Our thinking is about Him and thanking Him and having communion together and sharing what God's been doing in our lives and sharing scriptures that we've been learning and things like that. It's like, man, that's where our minds need to be, is in that type of thing rather in the world. Romans 12:1 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will." This renewing of your mind, it doesn't really go into how to do that. Sometimes people think it's reading Scripture. I don't know that it means that directly. I think it would have just said that. But I think reading Scripture is very helpful for that, because you know what? I have ways of thinking. And that the way that I have of thinking needs to be corrected. It needs to line up with God. And I need to be refocused back on what He's done for me so that I have a thankful heart. I need to be refocused on my purpose in life. I need to be refocused on loving other people instead of myself. I need to be focused on grace and forgiveness and my identity and how I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. All these are truths that I need to be refreshed in. I think one of the greatest and one of the easiest ways to be refreshed in these things is to spend time every day reading the Scripture and renewing my mind. Think of the example of someone who deals with just kind of a real severe struggle with their self-worth, and you know, maybe they feel like, oh, I'm a loser and I'm a failure and I hate my life and no one would care if I'm gone or things like that. And let's say it's not medical, but what would you do to advise someone like that? Might be like, well, you have to change your thinking, right? You have to think differently. You have to stop thinking those wrong thoughts, and you need to be refreshed in truth. Like, man, you need to get 20, 30, 40 verses that relate to your identity and what Jesus has done for you. And you need to meditate on those and think about them. And you need to fix your thinking, right? You need to realign your thinking or be renewed in your thinking so that it's lined up with the way God sees things. And then you think, man, there's a real hope there. So I gave a parenting conference a couple of months ago. And I could tell that the guy who invited me to come and speak, you know, just had certain hopes and dreams about how it would go. And it was kind of funny because we did the conference, and afterwards I felt a little insecure about it. Like, I don't know if he was pleased, because, you know, he's the pastor of a big church, of multiple churches, and obviously he had seen better presentations and better speakers, and I wasn't sure if it was quite what he wanted. And so I started kind of worrying about, well, what did he think of that? And so I'm at the pastor's conference, and like, hey, you know, if you have any suggestions for me or anything. And so he sat down with me and just talked, and he really enjoyed it, and he was just real kind and loving to me. And I just thought it was really interesting, because my thinking started going one way that was off. And I started thinking he was thinking certain things, and he wasn't. And to get that fixed, I needed to have my thinking corrected by talking to him. And I think the same thing happens with us and our thinking. We need to have our thinking corrected by going back to God and lining our thinking up with truth and with His ways. And so, again, it's back like the diet, you know. The goal is not to just quit eating junk food, but the goal is to eat good food and healthy food and to live well. Same thing with our thinking. The goal is not just to stop bad thinking, but that needs to be replaced with correct thinking. It needs to be renewed and in a good place. So, couple more verses. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." And a similar verse in Hebrews 3:1. "As therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." It's like, man, when I'm thinking about Jesus and focused on Him, that affects my desire for sin, right? It affects my level of thankfulness. It affects my desire to live a holy life. It affects my understanding of my value and my forgiveness. It's like my thinking needs to be lined up with that. I need to fix my eyes and my thoughts on Jesus. So we can't just wash the outside of the cup. We can't just change the outward behavior, but we need to think about, okay, how can we change the inward behavior? How can we change our thinking? What's going on inside our heads? What's going on inside our hearts? And so I want you to think about just, you know, is there an area of your life that you're trying to change, that you're trying to grow in, something you're trying to stop, something you're trying to start? And I want you to focus on, okay, what needs to happen in my thinking? Is there some thinking I can just cut off, that I can just say stop? Or maybe there's something that needs to change about my value. Maybe I need to gather a bunch of verses and really meditate on those. But I just want to challenge you this morning. Don't just change the outward, but I want you to really think about your mind and think about your heart and plead with God to help you have victory in those areas and not just changing the outward behavior. So thanks for coming this morning. I really hope that God will help you in applying these things. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us to live this out, not just to change our actions, but to change our thinking. And we know as our thinking changes, then our actions will fall in line with that. I thank you that you've already been at work in us, that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness, that you've made it so there's no temptation that seizes us, that will control us. God, you've made it so that we can have victory. You've created us, you've made us a new creation. God, I pray that you would help us to walk in that and not be like the pig, not go back to wallowing in our mud. And so we pray that you would help us on all this, just so your Spirit would work powerfully in our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.